Chapter 5, An Encounter with the TV Demon. Much like most of the Pride Ring, this was the bad part of town. Even with attempts by its overlord rulers to make this section of the city as flashy and sterilized as possible. Underneath the glamour, however, it seemed not much care was invested into it beyond image, falling to the usual sinner afflictions of violence, crime, and debauchery. The only way to escape it, of course, was by way of soul contract. And to illustrate this theme further, among this superficial sea of sin was a nightclub that somehow managed to be equal parts luxurious and low class. While it was a premier and popular place to be, its services and decor being the best offered. In hell, being popular only meant the potential for sin and degeneracy was higher, and this club provided all of that. Alcohol was endless and fueled by a cocktail of hard drugs invented in the infernal abyss. The sinners would dance and rave under the bright neon lights until their legs collapsed, for their indulgence was never-ending. And sitting there across the club was Adam and his band Dawnbringer, relaxing and sharing several rounds of drinks.
"Is this fucking awesome or what? Better than the places Laby usually takes us."
Adam let out a hearty laugh and took another gulp of his glass of beer.
"Oh, shut up, big man. You only know this place because I took you here,"
Laby playfully jeered. Adam and his bandmates were lounging around in celebration after their latest concert. While their previous performances weren't failures by any stretch of the word, none of them really blew up like this one did. It was not every day that an entire crowd of rabid fans booed and pelted the head honcho of hell himself, and from that little incident, their name was now the talk of the town, and Adam was all too eager to exploit that opportunity as soon as he figured out what to do. Even if he improvised the lyrics in the heat of the moment, and it came out a bit shoddy, that song he came up with when the crowd was putting Lucifer in his rightful place was still good shit. Maybe he should sit down and write a better version of it. The fans would probably love it.
"Man, imagine needing a bunch of freaky losers to stick up for you. Couldn't be me, dude."
Unfortunately, Adam's pondering was interrupted by the unwanted commentary of a shadow from the past. His own inner voice. The obnoxious apparition was sitting right across from him, clad in his old embroidered robes and his shining exterminator helmet. He forgot exactly when this prick first arrived, maybe during his first days in hell, but ever since then, this fucking douche refused to leave.
"But that's just fitting, isn't it? You, the king of the losers. Face it, you never belonged in heaven."
The figure's flickering face sneered. Adam wanted so badly to strike at it, but he knew by now that it wasn't real. Besides, he was out in public, having a good time, and this was one of those times Loot would have warned him not to make a fool of himself. Loot. Man, he missed her.
"Adam? Adam, first man?"
"Oi, what?"
Adam looked across his table, and instead of the product of his delusions and inner turmoil, was a shrimp-looking sinner wearing a courier uniform.
"Are you Adam Firstman?"
the shrimp reiterated.
"Damn right I am. Want an autograph or something?"
Adam replied while downing a glass of beer.
"This is for you,"
the shrimp wheezed out in a scratchy voice, handing him a gift basket. Before Adam could ask what the fuck this was, the lousy shrimp had already scampered off. Adam brought the basket to the table and cautiously examined it with his bandmates. It seemed to be the type of tacky, thoughtless present corporations gave out to their employees, which was odd. Adam threw that previous assumption out of the window when he detected an inviting aroma coming from the basket. It was a box of barbecue ribs, and it actually smelled good for once. He took a single rib from the box and, apprehensively, took a small bite of it. And to his surprise, it actually tasted good. Still not as good as the ones he was used to in heaven, but he was glad it was half decent, which seemed to be a rare compliment for the food down here. Also included in the bundle was a bottle of high-end wine. Clearly someone knew of his taste, which was suspicious to say the least.
"Who do you reckon sent this over?"
Johnny asked, glass of whiskey in hand.
Beats me, dude. Wait, hold on. There's a card here.
Lazily munching on more of the ribs, Adam pulled out a cardboard greeting card with a blue V logo on the front of it and took a read.
Congratulations on the success of your latest tour. We at VoxTech have been following you and your band for some time now, and we are impressed by your work. We would like to discuss future opportunities for a collaboration. Yours sincerely, Vox.
The other side of the card included a time and a date and an address for a ritzy restaurant located downtown.
Vox, huh? Where have I heard that name before?
Adam put a sauce-stained finger to his chin in deep thought, taking another look at the logo on the front of the invitation card. It seemed oddly familiar that he took a look at the back of his phone and realized the logo was the same. Looking around, he noticed that everyone's phone had it. Adam took a look at the TV and looked out the window, seeing the VoxTech logo, or Vox himself, on the screen and on the billboards.
Huh. This guy's a big deal around here?
Adam muttered to himself before coming to a realization.
Wait, hold on. Is this the guy, what's his name again? Elias works for? What the fuck has he been up to again?
Adam turned to Johnny.
I think the fella just went home after work. Real shady guy, too. Kept using his phone every few minutes and just snooped around the place.
Johnny told in a matter-of-fact manner, finishing the whiskey he had in hand.
Ah, yeah. Gotta deal with that loser later. Now, about his boss, I say we see what his deal is.
Adam said, finishing the last of the ribs. Labianne chimed in as soon as he did.
Adam, we need the help, sure, but an overlord? And a big one, too? Like, I get it, but they never do anything without wanting something in return. Just don't get roped into a deal.
Adam simply waved her concerns away.
Appreciate it, Thunder Thighs, but you forget who I am. I can handle any overlord.
He emphasized his point by letting a ball of lightning crackle and rapidly form on his open palm. Just then, Gigi, who spent all this time on the dance floor beating up people that entered his vicinity while heavily inebriated, made his way back to the table, stomping.
Whoa, 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 you're actually thinking of hearing this guy out? A businessman and an overlord? That's like twice as worse. What does he have that we don't?
Gigi voiced an annoyance, sweating and bleeding, which wasn't all that unusual for him.
Oh, now you decide to join the conversation. Where even were you? We were meant to stick together as a group.
Johnny replied in irritation at his bandmate's continued antics, which only served to make Gigi angrier.
Get off my ass, I do what I want, and you know I'm right about this, you self-righteous idiot.
Gigi pointed at Johnny in agitation to really boost his argument further. Johnny simply sat there and poured himself another drink from a bottle of whiskey. A neutral look on his face, not exactly arguing, but not entertaining the manic musician's antics further.
Relax, Gigi. It's not like I'm agreeing to anything. I just want to see what that tryhard is about.
Adam reassured his drummer, not showing the least bit of concern in his demeanor. Adam looked at the invitation and looked back up again. What greeted him was an establishment with decor reminiscent of a more vintage style. It was decorated with a sign depicting a neon red demon stabbing another. The restaurant, while high-end, carried an air of seediness around. It was a playground for the foulest of the foul and a wretched den of the vilest villainy. The other patrons were a mix of mob bosses, hellborn nobility, and, of course, overlords. Adam took another look at this cackling rogues gallery before the maitre d', a tall and well-built red imp in a tuxedo, pointed him towards a seat where a certain overlord was sitting.
Glad you could make it. Please take a seat.
Vox called out to Adam in a jovial tone, his voice that of a smooth-talking television presenter with occasional static. The screen he had in lieu of a face displayed a friendly smile that occasionally flickered to a leer of greed. Adam sat down and immediately put up his feet on the table.
So, what'd you drag me out here for?
Adam asked, both skeptical and uninterested.
Well, I thought we'd use this meeting to get to know each other better for potential working relations later on.
Vox answered in faux friendliness, his eyes tracking Adam's response.
Oh yeah? Who's asking?
Adam replied sarcastically, picking at his teeth. Visibly taken aback at his audacity at first, Vox straightened up and put his award-winning smile back on.
Where are my manners? I haven't even introduced myself yet. I'm Vox, CEO and owner of VoxTech, the biggest entertainment and technology company in all the seven circles. I control all television broadcasts in hell, and I form the three V's with my associates Valentino and Velvet. We control the entertainment district and all associated assets.
Vox explained in thinly veiled pride.
And I'm Adam, the first fucking man. But you probably already know that. The entire human race came to existence from me getting on, and I started everything on Earth. Pretty much laid the foundation for all human civilization. Then I was the first guy to go to heaven, and I led an army of badass babes to come down here and kick ass. Until little Miss Rainbows and Sunshine and her dumb hotel ruined everything with her loser of a dad.
Adam reminisced before continuing on.
And I still kick ass, by the way.
Adam let lightning pulsate around him to demonstrate his claim.
But anyway, I like to rock out, so me and some guys formed a band, and that's been awesome. We're prob's the best one here. Like, we can command the crowd to do whatever we want. Like, did you see them chuck shit at Lucifer's bitch ass? Still gets me. I don't know about you, but I got into some wild fuckery, let me tell ya. Got stories for days. Like this one time...
A ringing noise, similar to that of a malfunctioning electronics, rang out from the table. An expression of agitation briefly flickering on Vox's face before he composed himself once more.
That's very intriguing. As an entertainer myself, I know a thing or two about commanding a crowd.
His right eye bulged and swirled as he gave a smirk.
You know, my associates and I actually watched your fight with the members of the Has-Been Hotel live. Prime television, I tell you. I especially liked how you struck down that vintage fuckface Alistair.
That was his name? I mean, who gives a fuck, honestly?
Adam added in snark.
I know, right?
Vox replied excitedly, making Adam raise an eyebrow. The overlord businessman and TV host would quickly correct himself, clearing his throat.
What I meant to say was that we have no fondness for the Has-Been Hotel, or His Majesty either. You know, a man of my resources could really do a lot for you.
We can help each other out, Vox offered. Every one of Adam's actions and expressions were scrutinized, and he was sure it was somehow being recorded, given this weirdo had a TV for a head.
Right, I'll think about it, I guess.
Adam replied neutrally, growing tired of his host's antics.
No pressure, of course, but I'm just saying you could really use a sponsor, you know. But in any case, here's my card. Feel free to call in case you need anything, and don't worry, lunch is on me today.
Vox slid a business card to Adam with his blue clawed hand, his smile revealing itself in a sinister smugness. A man was walking down the grimy streets of the town bordering Uptown Pentagram City and the Entertainment District. The damp pavement either had sinners killing each other, shooting up drugs, or otherwise loitering around. The man pulled a stack of cash from his large manila-colored trench coat and counted his gains after another successful con. He liked to think he was different from the scum around the street. Not that he denied being a scumbag, it was the one thing he was honest about. But he was no ordinary sinner. He was known by many names and made sure to keep changing aliases. Most knew him as Ronnie the Rat, and that wasn't just referring to his rodent-like appearance. He had made a name for himself and became an overlord for his services as an info broker and smuggler, able to give you any kind of intel and get his hands on pretty much anything not nailed down. Sure, he wasn't the strongest out there, and needed protection from far more powerful overlords, who, for now, were the V's. But he was sure that in no time, he'd be a big shot. In fact, he was just a few steps away. He had already made a name for himself. All he needed to do was to con just a few more soul contracts. He was so close he could taste it. He shook that pleasing thought off and continued walking the street lamp illuminated streets. He took a turn to the right, then suddenly stopped. A man of his trade knew to always look behind his shoulder, and right now he could not shake the feeling that he was being pursued. He looked around in all directions, but couldn't see anyone. Normally he'd chalk it up to some random pickpocket looking to cause him trouble, but he just couldn't ignore it. His instincts, which saved his soul before, never failed him, so why would it now? Getting increasingly stressed, he pulled out his pistol and shouted in the distance,
"Show yourself! I know you're there somewhere!"
Yet he received no response. Pointing his gun and taking another look around, adrenaline slowly making its way through his veins, he could still find no one. His eyes scanned the surroundings once more, looking for any signs of pursuers until he saw a shifting shadow.
"Aha! Gotcha!"
Ronnie fired several rounds in the general direction of the shadow, tense but satisfied with his effort, believing the threat to be eliminated. He was ready to give a sigh of relief and be on his way, until he saw the shadow again. If his eyes weren't playing tricks on him, he swore he saw it jump from the shade of a street lamp to another. Suddenly, every spot of darkness seemed hostile, and he wasn't prepared to deal with it at all. Sweat dripped from his brow as he prepared to make a run for it, not wanting to fight this mysterious pursuer. He tried desperately to evade this unknown threat, making several turns, running through alleyways and changing direction in rapid succession. But every time he looked back, he could see the shadow right behind him somewhere. What made it worse is that he was unable to track the direction it was coming from. Somehow it kept changing positions without any rhyme or reason. He was trying every evasion technique he knew in the book, but none seemed to work. As he scurried past an antique store, the radio on display suddenly came to life, playing a vintage tune.
"Hush, hush, hush, here comes the bogeyman."
He came to a crossroad, his nerves preventing him from deciding where to go, until he saw his own shadow unnaturally shift and pulsate.
"Don't let him come too close to you. He'll catch you if you can."
Shrieking in panic, he chose the path to his left and desperately ran ahead, hoping that this nightmare would finally end. All hope ceased as he came to a dead end. His heart was beating out of his chest as his back hit the wall, his labored breaths making his lungs work overtime. In delusion and pure desperation, he wondered if it was possible for him to scale the walls. He started to seriously consider this option until a crimson-red figure emerged from the shadows, and his heart sank to his stomach.
"Fine weather for an evening stroll, wouldn't you say, good sir?"
The figure's cervidae ears perked up as he casually closed the distance between him and Ronnie with a sharp-toothed grin, while Ronnie was too stunned to utter a single sound, as Pride's premier info broker knew exactly who this was and what fate awaited him. No one survived an encounter with the radio demon.
"What do you want from me?"
Ronnie yelled in panic, but he just kept smiling.
"Anything you want I can give you, just name it,"
Ronnie pleaded, but he just kept smiling.
"You want information? You can have it, just tell me what you need to know,"
Ronnie desperately offered, but he just kept smiling.
"You know, I have all sorts of secrets about that Vox fella and all his associates. You can have all of it, free of charge. Just please, just let me go."
Ronnie made one last offer, running out of options. This time, the radio demon let out a deep, sadistic laugh, finally giving his answer.
"What I want, my furry fellow, is your demise,"
Alistair put in a calm, matter-of-fact manner, the same tone one would use when explaining to a friend what they read that morning. Ronnie's eyes widened with fear.
"No! Please! No!"
Alistair struck at his abdomen and yanked his clawed hand back,
pulling Ronnie's bloody intestines like a string. Ronnie squealed and shrieked like a rodent in agony, his arms making desperate clawing motions on instinct. Alistair used his free hand to grab his neck, causing him to bleed further before sinking his teeth into the rising overlord. Once he took a bite out of him, Ronnie went limp, no longer struggling or making any noise. Alistair released his grip, letting his body flop to the floor, leaving him like any other corpse in hell's back alleys. Alistair dusted himself off after another successful hunt, the advantages of his fashion sense being that no matter how much blood covered him, no one knew the difference. He turned his attention to a sleek security camera with a blue V on its side that recorded the entire incident. He stared directly into it with his gleaming red eyes, which turned into radio dials, his sharp grin growing wider as he made one final threat to the person on the other end.
See you soon, old pal.